get our weekly view from the middle. A flexible guest joining us on a Thursday instead of Wednesday. Keep up with what he's doing, usatoday.com, the red section of the newspaper, on Twitter, at George Schroeder. George, thanks for joining us today. How are things?
Things are good. How are you?
Things are great. Love this time of year. And actually, that's where I wanted to start. I like to take the personal pulse occasionally. Championship week into Selection Sunday, the field is revealed, then we get next week. How high does this rate on your scale as a sports journalist and fan this time of year?
I was on a radio show earlier today with Doug Gottlieb, the analyst, the college basketball analyst, and we were talking about this, and I think I agree with him. I was going to say that today, and maybe Friday, but really Thursday of championship week, when most of the quarterfinals are and you play basically from morning till night,
yep,
and all these conference title games, was my second or third favorite day of the college basketball season, and one of my top deals in the college sports landscape, behind Thursday and Friday first round games next week of the NCAA tournament. And he made the point that today, and to a certain extent, Friday too, if it's conference tournament that ends on Sunday, but the quarterfinals of the conference tournaments are much more evenly matched teams. And he made the case that maybe today ought to be the best day if you're a college basketball fan. Maybe so. I mean, I think for the sporting public at large, many of whom aren't, you know, fired up college basketball fans, it's next week. But I'm just going to say, I think the Thursday and Friday of championship week is a big deal and a lot of fun.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's nonstop. And not only that, there's a lot on the line. Next week, you know, we already know you got in, lose and go home. But now there's, what, 20 bubble teams playing today.
Very soft bubble this year with a lot of mediocre bubble teams, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And good segue, by the way. I appreciate it because we track the team in your backyard, Oklahoma. You know, the incredible fall they've had. They've won 4 games in 7 weeks, knocked out of the tournament yesterday. Yet Lenardi of ESPN, Jerry Palm of CBS has them last 4 in. Let's say that you were a bracketologist. Would you be leaning yay or nay? Because this is one of the weakest finishes you'll ever see for a team who's still in the hunt.
Well, and I'm not a bracketologist, so that's the first thing. I think the bracketologist and perhaps the selection committee, and that's obviously the thing, too. We don't have any idea what the actual people who will really pick the teams are thinking.
Right.
But I think it's quite possible that they haven't paid as much attention, these bracketologists, to how Oklahoma has played. If you want to go overall resume, it still stacks up as a nice bubble team resume, and it stacks up against any of those other bubble teams, and probably better. The problem is, while they have this sort of NCAA bubble team you should be in resume, what they don't have is an NCAA caliber team right now. They look like an NIT team to me when I watch them. And I've watched them, you know, fairly often just because of osmosis, as you were talking about. And so they don't look like an NCAA tournament team. They do not even faintly resemble, for example, the team that seemed to be coming together when they played Oregon in Portland. And you know, Trae Young sort of began to announce his presence to the world, and you know, they went on the road a couple of weeks later and really handled a really good Wichita State team in Wichita, and you know, you saw a lot of things out of them that you thought, wow, these guys are really good. And I just got to tell you, they're not only not the same team, they're not good at all right now. They're not good at all, and yet I think probably the bracketologists are right. I think they're probably going to get in, just based on their overall resume. And I guess in some regard, I agree with that, not necessarily because it's Oklahoma, but it ought to be about everything you did in the season, not just what you did lately. But, man, what you did lately has got to come into play.
Yeah, they've got some nice wins, Texas Tech, Kansas, it goes on and on. But it'll be fun, and it'll be a white knuckler on Sunday.
It should be for them. You know, the funny thing is Oklahoma State, which has surged recently, and they lost to Kansas earlier today,
yep,
in the Big 12 tournament, and had beaten Kansas twice in the regular season, is probably on the outside looking in. And, you know, they beat Oklahoma 2 out of 3 times. Alabama is another team that, you know, they're now 18-14 after finding a way to beat Texas A&M. They beat Oklahoma. Now, they were playing at home in that SEC Big 12 Challenge. But, you know, if it comes down to, like, head-to-head, some of these other bubble teams ought to get in ahead of them. But I don't know that they will. On the other hand, if you lose 14 games and you're Alabama with a lottery pick, I'm not really sure that I'm all that fired up if you don't get in.
Yeah,
same way I'd feel about Trae Young in Oklahoma at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of teams looking through one eye at the screen on Sunday. I want to get to some general thoughts. I heard Steve Kerr of the Warriors kind of echo a sentiment. If a player makes himself available for the NBA draft, doesn't get drafted, let him back in college. Not an original idea and probably not that simple, but what are your thoughts on kind of that concept?
I'm all right with that. I'd actually be okay if you did get drafted, if you want to come back to college, and let them retain your rights, kind of like you see with the NHL sometimes. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't know, maybe. I mean, they may think of some radical things. One of the byproducts that I think would happen with that is a whole lot more people would declare for the draft, which I don't know is actually a good idea. Underclassmen would declare. I don't know if that's actually a good thing. Look, if you're going to do that, part of the piece is going to have to be you can sign some sort of a representation agreement with an agent. Because otherwise, first of all, guys are going to do it. And then they would suddenly be ineligible. But I actually think that the idea of letting college basketball players, and maybe college football players too, have a representation by agent, a la the way you can have advisors if you're a college baseball player, is a good idea to explore. I don't know exactly how that would work, but it might cut down on some of the corruption.
Well, anything that makes some headway, I'm up to consider as we continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. So the Memphis basketball coach, well, for now, Tubby Smith says, transferring in college basketball is out of hand. More than 800 during the most recent offseason. He calls it the equivalent of quitting. That if things don't go well, leave. But, you know, we see coaches break contracts for new jobs. What are your thoughts? If a better situation exists, take it. Or you made a commitment, stick it out. Or something in the middle.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, it's so, I mean, every situation is different, right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, for every guy who made an impulsive decision to leave because he wasn't getting enough playing time and, you know, maybe it was the wrong decision and it derailed his career. There are the guys who make the right decision to leave for the right, you know, and it works out for them. Or they make the right decision and it doesn't work out, but it was still the right decision. So it's just so hard to know. But I think I'm generally in favor of letting guys be able to control their destiny a little bit more than they've been able to. I don't think I'm ready for sort of a complete free agency, free-for-all transfer, and you're immediately eligible, which is something that's kind of halfway being discussed by this NCAA transfer working group right now.
Wow.
But I do think, well, I mean, it won't be quite like that, but they are discussing, Steve, and I'm working on a story about this, they are discussing the idea of allowing you one time in your 5 years to play four, one time the ability to transfer and play immediately at the next place. By that, I mean without sitting out a year. I don't
right.
mean you can transfer today and play, you know, tomorrow. But I mean, without sitting out a year, they would allow you to do that if you're meeting certain GPA and sort of academic progress. You know, if you're on track to graduate by whatever that standard is, and if you're meeting whatever GPA they decide, they are talking about just allowing that for everybody across every sport, which isn't the same as complete free agency. But boy, it might lead to a whole lot more people exploring the idea. Let's put it that way. And you know what? Although I think that's going to bring a whole lot of problems with it if it happens, it might be that that's what needs to happen. Because you said this right at the top. You said coaches can leave whenever they want. I mean, Tubby Smith has famously left jobs.
Yes, he sure has.
You know, coaches are able to do that. Nobody stops them from coaching the next season. And, you know, that's easy to say, but it's true.
No, so, I'm intrigued by that very, very, very much. I'll look forward to the piece.
I'm not sure that I'm in favor of it. I'm actually working on a news story. I kind of see the arguments for both sides. But I think this, there's going to be some significant changes to the transfer rules here within the next 8 or 10 months. And I'm not exactly sure what they're going to be, but they're going to be significant. And, you know, somebody's going to be unhappy. And I don't think it's going to be the athlete. Unless they thought they were going to get, you know, complete free agency.
Right, yeah, that doesn't sound very realistic. Another subject that surfaced, the one and done. I heard the Pac-12 commissioner, Larry Scott, talking about it. You know, if you're my age, originally there were hardship cases, and you can go from high school to the NBA, and then obviously we grew accustomed to Kevin Garnett and LeBron James, and now it's right. The one and done. You know, then you got to get the NBA involved. Your take on would it be better directly from high school to the pros or a 2-year commit? What's your read on that?
Well, first of all, let me explore this whole your age thing. Does that involve peach baskets?
Yes. Dr. Naismith transferred to my high school.
I mean,
directly
the game changed when they realized if you cut the bottom out of the peach basket, you don't have to climb up and retrieve the ball.
I was thinking more of Daryl Dawkins, but James Naismith could qualify.
All right, fair enough. I forgot the question now. I'm sorry.
I was saying, back in the Stone Age, if you could claim hardship, guys like Connie Hawkins and Daryl Dawkins never went to college, played in the NBA. Then we had Kevin Garnett and LeBron James go from high school to the NBA, and now they made this one in one. You have to go to college, not directly. So a tweak there. I'm curious as to what you think about that.
Right, and that's an NBA rule, not an NCAA rule.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the NBA rule, and it doesn't say you have to go to college. It just says you're not eligible for the NBA until after 1 year out of high school.
Right.
And so, there is no viable alternative unless you think you want to go to the G League now, or if you want to go play overseas. The Thunder has a kid, Terrence Ferguson, who went and played in, I want to say, China or somewhere last year rather than going to any colleges. Look, I'd like to see the one-and-done rule go away. And just, if a kid decides to declare for the pros, he decides to declare for the NBA. And if he makes it, he makes it. Will more kids declare? Yeah, I mean, we were beginning to see that, and kids who shouldn't do it were doing it before the NBA went to the one-and-done thing. So, yeah, that's going to happen. But what if you coupled that? You said a few minutes ago, what about the idea of letting kids come back after they declared for the draft if they go undrafted? And I mentioned the whole thing about representation and agents. What if you could declare for the draft out of high school if you wanted, and if you didn't get drafted, you were still eligible to go to college? Now, maybe that still creates problems with the one and done thing, but maybe not. Maybe it quenches a lot of it. Because the guys that are good enough, the guys that are one and done right now are good enough to go directly to the NBA in most cases out of high school, and we know it. Every so often there's a Trae Young who nobody has figured out how good he is until he gets into college, but most of the time, you know. So what if you allowed the guys to declare out of high school, but it didn't mean they were ineligible for the NCAA unless they signed with a team? Well, what about that? What would be so bad about that?
No, I think that's at least a better step in the right direction, because I'm with you. The one and done has just got to go. I mean, it's ridiculous. All right, one final thought for George Schroeder of USA Today. You wrote about this mess surrounding Sean Miller at Arizona. He sits out the Oregon game, then he gets back in front of a university backdrop, denied the FBI allegations or any kind of payment. At all surprised that the university took such a supportive stance, or is it a case of, look, it's March, this thing is ongoing, they're with him for now?
Well, I think it is that, for sure, for certain. It's March and they're with him for now, in part because of this. First of all, we don't know where that specific allegation from the ESPN report is going to go, whether that's ever going to come to be true or not. We just, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Well, neither does the school. That said, I think it's very much in question whether Sean Miller is the Wildcats coach when practice starts next fall. The reason being, there's a whole lot more going on there. You've got one assistant coach arrested and then fired, in that order, by the way, arrested and fired, and another assistant coach is sort of named in some of those documents in the Yahoo Sports Report as being sort of caught up in the same stuff with the same group of agents for the same reasons, kind of brokering, getting players to school. So regardless of what Sean Miller did or didn't do, his program has been alleged to be up to its neck in stuff. And so, to me, there's all sorts of issues going on with the Arizona basketball program, whether or not he's on a federal wiretap discussing, you know, a payment of $100,000 to get a player to come to Arizona. So, to me, all those Arizona fans that think Sean Miller's been vindicated, well, first of all, he hadn't been vindicated even about that report.
Right.
But he certainly is not secure and set as the Wildcats coach, I don't think.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you saw some of the shirts they were wearing at the Pac-12 tournament today, the fan base is all in on their coach. But that remains very much to be seen. Folks, he is George Schroeder, USA Today, usatoday.com, on Twitter, at George Schroeder. George, look forward to chatting next week when the field is set and we have much to talk about again.
Man, that is going to be fine. You're going to love this. I am set to go to the Garden Spot in March. There's no better place to be than Wichita, Kansas.
There you go. You lost the lottery, I guess, or you lost the bet. All right, George.
Wait, I picked that. No, you're right. I lost.
Well, either way, travel safe, and we shall talk next week.
All right. Well, hey, maybe if we're lucky, Oregon will find its way into the field by winning a couple more games, and I'll run into some of you guys like I have the last few years. That would be fun.
That would be awesome, and they're going to need to win these next three.
All of the above, all of them.
Yeah, you enjoy Wichita, George. We'll talk soon.
you enjoy the NIT, then, in that case, I guess.
Nice! Have a good one, George.